Hi there, welcome to our daily teaching video. Hey, at the moment I'm going to share a piece of my new online course, The Spirit-Filled Life. This is a course, a 12-part course, on how to live full and how to live in the overflow of the Holy Spirit. More details, check out the link below, but I know this is going to be a blessing to you. Hey, before we do that, real quick, let me show three quick announcements. Number one, please do subscribe wherever you're watching this, YouTube, podcasts, lots of different places. I'd love to have you as part of our online community. Secondly, I have an email newsletter I send out every Friday with news, updates, free things, books I'm reading, travel news, missions, lots of different things like that. And you can sign up for that with the link below. And we have a 3-hour teaching on how to hear God's voice. We'd love to get into your inbox when you subscribe for our email newsletter. Lastly, let me just mention my ministry school. I have an online ministry school, ministryschool.net, that is aimed at helping believers develop and grow in their faith in God. This is a faith ministry school. We have lots of individual courses and a monthly subscription. We have a group, a private mentoring group that meets using a Zoom call once a month and has question and answer, lots of different things there. So do check that out below. Right, let's jump into this lesson on the Spirit. Welcome to the Spirit-Filled Life course. It's a joy to have you here with me. And in these 12 lessons, this is number one of 12 lessons, well, we're going to explore together what it really means to live a Spirit-filled life. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? More importantly, my heart is about how do we stay filled with the Holy Spirit? And I just pray as you walk through this material that this doesn't become simply head knowledge, but this becomes an invitation. This becomes the wardrobe you walk through and step into a whole new world with God. And I really want to begin this course simply by stating that God wants you to live a Spirit-filled life. There are sometimes people will talk to me about, well, this church is a Spirit-filled church, this church isn't, or this church is more into the Word or more into... There's only one type of church that Jesus wants, and that is a Spirit-filled church. We'll come to that in a moment, but when Jesus ascended in Acts 1, he told the apostles, don't do anything. Don't go anywhere, don't organize a committee, don't try and do anything in your own strength. Wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And it's so vital that we become the church Jesus wants us to be in this day and this hour, but also individually as well, that we become the people he wants us to be. And I know no better life than a Spirit-filled life. What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? Probably all over these 12 lessons, I'll keep redefining that and giving you perspectives upon it. But it really means to be full of the Spirit of God, but actually to be overflowing with the Spirit of God, to live in such a way where God's Spirit is flowing in us, God's Spirit is flowing out of us, so that rather than pray for a move of God, we become a move of God, that everywhere we go, a move of God happens, because everywhere we go, God is in us and we are moving, and we spill, as it were, everywhere we go. Jesus said in John 7:38, he who believes in me, and that means not simply a Christian, but he who is walking in faith with me. As the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of his innermost being, the King James said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And that's my prayer, that the Lord would take these short lessons and lead you into a whole new experience of the overflow of the Spirit of the Lord. Hey, just a practical, I have some notes, some PDF notes with all of my scripture, my message notes I've prepared for these messages available. If you've signed up for the course, they'll be there. If you're watching this in another format, I'll try and put a link where you can access those. I really encourage you to go over those notes, but more importantly, to engage with them, to write on them, to make them yours, to look at the scripture references, to engage with some of the applications listed in the notes as well. And you know, you will get out of this course that which you put into it. Let me say that again. You'll get out of this course that which you put within it. So let's begin and go through the notes. Ephesians 5:18, the Spirit of the Lord is writing through the Apostle Paul, and he gives us a commandment, an exhortation, a promise, but also a commandment. It's in the imperative form of the verb. He says, be filled with the Spirit. It's interesting, in the Greek, that is actually in the present continual tense. Possibly a better translation of that would be being filled with the Spirit. Be constantly in the state where you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you a quick story to begin this course. But about 15 years ago now, I was living in France, but I was ministering over here in America. I'd spoken in New York City on a Friday evening, had to drive to Gloucester, Mass., just north of Boston on a Saturday, about a 4 or 5 hour drive, something like that. I got out of New York City on a Saturday morning, and I'm on the Merritt Parkway heading north, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, "Graham, just pray in the Spirit this journey, for the whole of this journey." So I put a little bit of soaking music on low in my car, and you know, the highway was empty, nice Saturday morning drive, and I started praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And I just prayed in the Spirit all the way up to Hartford, Connecticut, up to Sturbridge, where I now live, where I am today, onto the Mass Pike towards Boston. When I got near Boston, I pulled off the highway to pick up a package. And I was about to get back on the highway. I've been praying in tongues now for about 3 or 4 hours, just enjoying God. And I saw a Dunkin' Donuts. And I was about to go through the drive-thru, and I thought, you know, I'll park and just go in and stretch my legs. And I've been praying in tongues for 3 or 4 hours. As I walked into the Dunkin' Donuts, everybody fell on the floor under the power of God. Whoa. And I wish I could have, I could tell you, I preached a sermon, led them all to Jesus. I didn't really. Everybody got straight back up, and people were like dusting themselves off and thinking that was weird, that was strange. And, you know, some said it thundered. And I went outside with my coffee, and I'm standing there saying, "Lord, something just happened. And I'm not sure I know what it was. What just happened right there?" And straight away, the Lord gave me a scripture from Ephesians 3, 16 through 20. Where it speaks about being strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that you'll be filled with the fullness of God. And if you read through that passage, it ends up in Ephesians 3:20, where the Apostle Paul says, "Now to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that works within you, to Him be glory in all generations in the church." And it's like suddenly I got this download that really changed my life. And the Lord said, in the last days, what happened to you in a microcosm today, Graham, is going to happen to the church, where the church will live full of the Holy Spirit. The church will live in the overflow of the Spirit. And everywhere the church goes, the Spirit goes. And everywhere the church goes, revival goes. And everywhere the church goes, there will be outpourings of the Spirit of God. And I like to see an outpouring in a church, but I love to see an outpouring in Dunkin' Donuts or in the White House or my house or your house or Walmart or wherever the Lord may lead you. So let's learn and explore together what it really means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me begin in the Old Testament. Really, in the Old Testament, there were very few people filled or anointed with the Holy Spirit. Really, three categories of people: prophets, priests, and kings. And God would occasionally choose a man or a woman, get over it, and anoint them and fill them with His Spirit. In the book of Numbers, around about chapter 11, you see Moses complaining. It's interesting. Moses had, there's a time in Exodus where Moses can't cope with the workload he has. His father-in-law, Jethro, comes to him and says, "Moses, you need some help. Choose 12 elders from each of the tribes of Israel and have them as elders under you. And if you can't, you know, delegate the work to them." And yet a few months later, Moses still can't cope with the workload. He has these elders in place, but they're not really functioning and working. And in Numbers, God calls Moses aside, and if you will, He tells Moses the problem. "You have elders, but they're not full of the Holy Spirit like you are." And the Lord says to Moses, "I'm going to take the Spirit that was on you and put the same Spirit on them." It's interesting, God didn't just say, "I'm going to pour my Spirit on the elders," but rather, "I'm going to take the anointing that's on you and put it on them." It's a great lesson for church leaders that sometimes the most anointed people are actually the most problematic and troublesome people. It's not that they're problematic, it's simply they're flowing in a completely different anointing. And Moses calls all of the elders, they go outside of the camp. He calls the 72, but two of them were missing. There were two elders called Eldad and Medad. And they didn't come to the meeting. And when Moses is outside of the camp, he lays hands on the elders, and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. They all began to prophesy. Can you imagine Moses, Joshua, all of these elders prophesying? You know, sometimes people who don't know the Bible well claim that, well, we can't have prophecy anymore because if we had the gift of prophecy, we'd have to, it would constantly be adding to the Bible. And yet if they knew the Bible, they would actually realize all throughout the Bible, there's recorded in the Bible instances of people prophesying, and yet we don't actually have that recorded what they say. So there are words that God has given us in Scripture, and everything is subject to this, but there are also times God has a now word. You know, maybe in church on a Sunday, most Sundays, God will have myself or others in the congregation bringing a now word of life to the congregation. Really important principle. Here's what I want you to see, though. The elders, 70 elders, get filled with the Spirit, and they all go off to Denny's or somewhere for a dinner. And then these two guys who were late, Eldad and Medad, they arrived when everybody's left. And then the Spirit of God hits them, and they start prophesying. And Joshua, Moses' young servant, if you will, he comes and he finds these two guys, Eldad and Medad, prophesying. And he gets really, what are they doing? He tells Moses to stop them prophesying. And you see the heart of God just exploding out of Moses when Moses turns to Joshua and says, Joshua, you want me to stop two people prophesying? It's like he says, Joshua, if I had my way, all of the nation of Israel would be prophets. Every child, every man, woman, every granny, every businessman, businesswoman, the whole nation would be prophets. Here's what I want you to see. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. That is what happened on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God was poured out. Peter looks at what's happening, the reality, people speaking in tongues, sound of a mighty rushing wind, people acting like they're drunk, all of these things. And then he opens the Scriptures and he says, this that you see is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This is that. And then he quotes Joel. He says, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all. Well, thanks for watching. And remember, you can download the whole course. There'll be a link below on our website, ministryschool.net. I have a special offer on this course at the moment, and I know it will be a blessing to you. Remember to hit the subscribe button, sign up for our email newsletter, and do check out our ministry and all the links below. Thank you for watching. We'll be back tomorrow with another lesson.